This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
God showed me again, as so many times now before, so it was going like regular, that His angels are ready to worship with us. And then I feel so privileged that God's angels want to worship with us. And then they are so excited to be here. And I just pray that you have that excitement in your heart as well. It's really a privilege that we may worship God, that this is so free country, that we can do it together, that we just can glorify a little who He is. So today is and we had a small experience of fear. Not anyone was fearful when we had the fire fall just now. So I think we all need to go to California to see how it's really like. But fear. When God said to me, I was preaching fear, I said, Lord, I've preached about this 2 times now, so what did I miss? And it was totally different. So one evening I was so tired and I came home from a long day and he said, okay, I'm ready, get your book. So I wrote all the things down. It was so different as what I thought. I thought it's going about the fear of God. Because I pray often that I will understand the fear of God. And so it's not about the fear of God. It's about true fear, our fear that we have on earth. So, what are you fearful of or about? Now, I've written a few things down that perhaps you can add your own. You're fearful that you want to pass your exam or test. I think we have many students here, that you must study hard and there's lots of work and the pressure is high and
I can't even know
what it's not fun always. And the stress of the exams, I've studied 4 years and I did social work and then when I finished my last exam on the Wednesday, I got married on Friday. And I was just over the study, so I'm not such a good student. I'm very thorough, but so then the next year, during exam time, I felt this in my tummy, and I thought, what is this? And I had it for 2 more years, that it's that season of exams. And although I never really thought that I feared exams, I still had that stress in my body. yes, I need you to study perhaps or do something. So yeah, I can understand if you have a little fear of that. Or fear of not finishing your studies. Or fear of getting married or not getting married. Or having kids or not having kids. Fear of how to be a good father or a good mother. Fear of failing or fear of failure. There is no father or mother that is perfect. But when you're a dad or a mom, it comes a responsibility on you, and you know you're going to be accountable of what you do with these kids. And I also realized the same when we went through the difficult one, and then God said to me, but I will keep you accountable with what you do with your husband. And the same is with your wife. How do you keep him or her? It's a responsibility that we will be accounted for. Okay. So I don't want to bring fear now, but yeah. Fear of heights or spiders or snakes. It's more good we had a little conversation about snakes and mussels and so on. And perhaps needles. Fear of lack of money or not making it to the end of the month. Fear of pain or people or peer pressure or leaders or the boss. Fear of your future, fear of climate change. Fear of death, fear of dying. Fear of losing your job and you cannot survive. Fear of sickness, disease. I like a clean house, and once someone came to ask me, do I have fear of bacteria? And then, no, I don't have fear of bacteria, but I don't like a clean house. I think God gave us resistance to bacteria, but so perhaps you're fearful of bacteria. Fear of what the Bible says about the last days. It can be very fearful if you read that and you think, yeah, I'm a mess about this. Did you have that picture of the two people? So let's look at some scriptures. What is your greatest fear? First I want to ask you, what are you fearful about? You thought of that meanwhile, but what is your greatest fear? Did I need to share? Just think of one thing that stands in the way or stands a lot down. What is your biggest fear? And often it differs. I once was at a lifeline course, and we had to write our biggest fear on a little paper. And then you all threw it in a hat, and then someone else will take your fear. And the whole thing was that you could identify with someone else's fear. And I got a fear of being lonely, and I didn't understand that at all. I didn't fear of being lonely. And then I got that woman's paper, and it said, she couldn't understand my fear, that I was fearful that I will be attacked at home with my kids, and I cannot run because I need to take care of them, and in any case, so she said, what kind of fear is this? So, yeah. So think of your greatest fear that you have. While you're thinking, we're just going to look at a few scriptures of people in the Bible that have fear. Genesis 42, verse 4. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. The story behind it is that Jacob was married to Leah and to Rachel, but he loved Rachel. He was actually forced to be married to Leah. And I feel so sorry for this woman, Leah, because she gave him 10 children, and still he loved Rachel. Rachel had two children, and it was Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph was, according to him, or to what they told him, that he was dead. He was actually, he was actually in Egypt at that stage, but Jacob didn't know him. So his little precious other boy, he didn't want to get along, let him go with the older brothers to go and buy food in the towns of Canaan. So that's why he feared. He feared that something might happen to this boy as well, or this young man. And then in Samuel we read, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I don't know how many of you have fear of man or fear of people. Saul had it. Saul was a mighty king. He was superb. He had many wives. He was a man. And he had fear of people. Yeah, he was intimidated by the people. He was supposed to slaughter or kill the Amalekites and also not take off the animals. Look, normally when they would fight someone or a group of people, they will take the cows and the sheep and everything that's still in good condition, the sick ones they will kill. And often they will take the leader's word of that country to kill them in this life. But here God said, no, you will kill everything. It's terrible, but yes, God said that. And then Saul did it. The cows and the sheep and the goats were looking so good, so they took them out. And then this is it. Samuel confronted him because God spoke to Samuel the prophet, and he said, hey, what's going on here? And so then Saul came and he said, yeah. First he came still with a long story of, yeah, but we're going to sacrifice these animals. It's going to be a good thing for God. And then he says, God doesn't like sacrifices, he likes obedience. And I struggled with it because I have fear of man, and especially fear of my family, that can be very intimidating. And then God said, okay, no, you're not going to write them letters of this thing. I said, I don't understand. In relationships, you must be kind, you must write it sometimes back if they ask good questions. And then God said, so who do you fear the most in that situation? That's not a familiar, because I was a people's pleaser. So sorry for you guys, I'm not anymore. I love you all, but I fear God, and I will do what God says. And so it took me a while. I couldn't speak before people. I had to speak before students, and I was already over the age of 40, and then there was 10 students. I stood like this, and I cried. I said, God, this is wrong. Really, I am so intimidated. Why? Because I think people will think that I'm not good enough. And it doesn't matter what people think of you, as long as you know what God thinks of you. If God's thoughts about you is cool and okay, then if yours are not about me that great, it's sad, because you must come in line with God. Okay, so we all need to think what God says, and then I'm thinking of our middle son. He asked the girl out for more than a year every now and then, and the whole year she said no, she declined it. And then I said to my son, Brahma, just do that. Find the girl that can appreciate you, any girl could come with them, whatever. But he was stuck to this girl. And she's now my daughter-in-law. So she's a wonderful, beautiful woman, and I appreciate her so much. She's really made of steel or something like that. But anyway, she asked God and said, Lord, when will you bring my husband to me? I'm looking for him. And God said, but I've shown him to you for more than a year. She said, but look at him. He said, Bama, he said, oh, I cannot see anything in him, so will you show me what you have told me? And he slowly did. And yeah, you heard the end of the story. So sometimes our own thinking is really what God's thinking, and that we must ask God, okay, God, show me. Show me who you are. Then we had Psalm 55. Did you know that David was often fearful? He was a mighty man, but he often was fearful. And here he's complaining and saying, Lord, because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, And in anger I bear a grudge against him. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I think sometimes we want to escape this the same.
Yeah.
Let me just go home. Have you ever been so scared of burning? I think in the Netherlands it's difficult to have an imagination of fearing of your life. How you can lose your life and that the operation, you have other fears, yeah? But this is really scary when it comes close to you. The next question I want to ask you, what do you do with your fear? You thought about your fear, your biggest one now, what do you do with it? And then in 1 John 4, verse 18, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And when I was here in the sermon, God just spoke to me and he said in these words, I love you more than your biggest fear. I just want to have you think about it again. I, God, love you more than your biggest fear. If we see, if we compare it to this verse, it says we will have no fear if we understand his love. In his love, there will be protection. But perhaps not the protection we think. It looks often different. Because his love is bigger than your biggest fear. When Daniel had to face the lions, I think he had lots of fear. His three friends were thrown into a fire furnace. I think you can feel the heat even far from away from it already. I think that's what it's gone. Even if they would have done, they were afraid of it. And I think often if we are standing before difficult choices, do we understand how much God loves them? Do you understand that God is with you in this? He wants you to understand these many verses in the Bible of how big and wide and how, the longest is his fear, his love to us, not fear, his love to us. And we often cannot grasp it. I also struggle with that. John Bevere said, you submit to the one you fear the most. When I was still a teacher, when I read that book, the fear of God, because I wanted to understand the fear of God. And then, actually, of the whole book, this one, was available to me. You submit to the one you fear the most. If you're intimidated by people, if you're scared of your boss, if you, then you will submit to him because of your fear. Yeah? So, because you expect punishment, it's what the first said, you expect punishment. If you have to do an ungodly thing at your job, you have to write the books, or you have to lie in court, or you whatever, and you know you're going to lose your job if you do that, you need to do something. Your fear of not having a job, or to be honest, what God expects from you. It's easy speaking about it. It's easy talking about this, but do it in practice. It's not so easy. I would go back to God and say, oh Lord, you understand my fear. And you know, when you come back to this verse that Samuel said to Saul, he doesn't make a sacrifice. You can't say, okay, I'll sing 10 songs for you now, and then it's over. No, it doesn't look like that. I wrote there on the third drop line, you submit to the one perhaps you love or trust the most. If we really could could love or trust God, we will not submit to the other fear and intimidation. So if we could put that next to one another, if God says, my love for you is bigger than your biggest fear, then we need to submit to God, because we must believe Him and trust in Him. I had a sermon 2 weeks back about hope, faith, and trust. We need to grow in this. And in every session, every Tuesday we pray, and you're really welcome, everyone. If you cannot hear God's voice, it's a good place to start. It's really helpful to learn how to hear His voice. It's actually so good to learn how God does that. And we learn now for a few weeks as well that God is cleansing the bride. That means He's preparing His church for His coming back. And we need to be without spot and wrinkle. And He also told us we must grow. We must get rid of ungodly things. And fear is not from God. If you know that verse in 2 Timothy, it says, God, I did not give you fear. Okay, hello, who gives us fear? Mm-hmm. God doesn't give you fear. But I did not give you fear. I gave you something else, love, balance, and love. But that to fear is, it's not from God, so we don't want to have to deal with it at all. When I grew up in a religious church, and no one ever told me that fear can be sin. I thought every human being has fear, and this is how God created us, and we're supposed to be frightened of some stuff and whatever. And then I learned that God did not give us fear, and there's many verses in the Bible that says, bring your burdens to me, do not worry, do not be fearful of anything. So I realized, okay, perhaps fear is not such a good thing, and perhaps fear is not from God, and perhaps it's sin. So when we look at fear that way, it's really not a thing. You're not supposed to be comfortable with it. You need to get rid of it. Okay. Often in the Bible it says, do not fear. I spoke a little about it in Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff comforts me. It's not to say you will not go into the valley of death. It's not to say you will miss every trial of tribulation. It's not to say, no, it will be smooth sailing. That it doesn't say. It says, I'm with you. Okay? So it is still challenging. It's not like this miracle thing that takes you away with the wings of the dove and now you're gone. No, you're still in it. Okay, and then this is something. It says, you shall not fear them, for it's the Lord your God who fights for you. Joshua had to fight these giants. We often speak about giants. He had to face them in Canaan. There was many tribes that he had to kill them. They were not friendly towards Joshua. It was not easy. The Israelites was not trained fighters. They were slaves. And then for 40 years they toured around the desert, which was also not really a school of fighting. So now you have to man up to nations that has armies. And it's so funny how God is. Then often he will say to them, okay, but you must go with your music first. And I think, okay, what do you like? You will go first. And then I'll stand in the back. God's ways of fighting is so different than ours. I think it was challenging for them to not be fearful. And this is so beautiful. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. They stood before the Red Sea after the 10 plagues. The king said, okay, just go. And they left. And they have seen all these plagues. Most of them haven't gone to them. They have been chosen, is that the English word? Chosen? They lived there, the Israelites. And so the plagues was not, often they were spared of the plagues. It just happened with the Egyptians. They have seen this miracle. They have lived it. It was not long ago, it was a reason. And now they stand in front of the sea and the Egyptians are coming off to them. And they are frightened because they're going to grab them again in these slaves. And then this person says, no, don't have fear. It's real fear. It's not just, oh, I'm fearful of a spider. No. This is intimidating. This is terrible. And then God says, trust me. And then he opens the sea and they can go through. And then the Egyptians also wanted to go through, but then they drowned. I've once watched a documentary on the kings of Egypt. And then there's one king that they do not talk about so much, because his son was killed or something like that. In any case, it has to do with this scripture, that they will not be seen afterwards. So the whole army were drowned there, and I don't know the whole story, but of the documentary, but it was significant to know that it was actually in the history of the Egyptians. I almost said this, but I love it. But some people say, no, oh, but the sea was not so deep, it was ankle deep, they could walk through it, and then I know I say it often. And then I say it's even more a miracle that the Egyptians drowned in an ankle deep water. Okay. So yes, God loved them and he spared them. And I just wanna have you think, we're gonna look at a clip now, at a YouTube clip. Listen to it, but just understand God's love behind it. So we're not supposed to come on here.
So we don't.
Okay, let me. Just a few last things. What keeps us in fear? I just had three things there. It says it's a lack of knowledge of your authority. A lack of knowledge of the authority that God has given us to conquer the fear, to be the boss of the fear. God has given us the authority, and often we don't know. So please come to the training sessions, come to the encounters, come to deliverance. Let us help you share what we know, and we don't know anything, but at least it's a start. To get you that you know what is your authority. A lack of trust in God. Something else. We don't trust God will come through to us. We don't trust that he will do it. Because if we cannot control it, we think it's out of control. It's not. It can be in God's control, but we must give the control to God. And then a lack of knowledge of who God is. And then I quickly want to share who is God to you? Because you need to understand who is God, so that you can understand how big is his love, and that it is bigger than your biggest fear. And all your fear together, and all our fear together. He's bigger than that. And because we have a lack of knowledge, a lack of knowing how powerful, awesome our God is. The last song, I think it was the last song, was how big is God? Who can be against us? We don't believe that. We sing it here in church, we can be against us. You know, we must understand who is God. So I'm just quickly going to say a few things. He is the Creator. And when we worship him just now, and God said to me, he showed me a picture of a core, and he said, I am at the core of everything. If you understand that this mighty creation was created by God, what do we do? He loves us. The creator of everything, of me, of the universe, of everything, loves you. He's not a bossy was expected in life to go this way, to do this, to do that. Because it's better for us. We train your children the same way. Don't touch the hot plate. Don't walk too close to the water. You're not following me. But God is our creator. And then Amanda preached on the kids last week. For those who are new, that is my husband. Dakin preached on the gifts last week, the gifts of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How awesome is our God that He programmed us with different gifts. If we go to the Father's gift, the redemptive gifts, the exhorter, the prophet, the teacher, the leader, the mercy, the servant, and God thought of you when He wove you in your mother's womb. He made you exactly with His new thoughts of us. Okay, some are flawed, some are flawed, some are bigger, some are thinner, some are muscles, some are less muscles. And then He even made us different. When the church just started, we did the test on the gift. There's some tests online that you can do just to help you to see where is your giftings. And I think there's 7 different giftings, and I think we were 9 in the room. 9 who started to help us at that stage of the church, and we had 7 different gifts. What it said is not one of us think the same. Okay? Nice and challenging. I have a husband, and he's been so different. But it's awesome. I love him. But yes, it's challenging, but God created you to be you, not to be someone else. You must be the full you. That's who God created you. Then you can be the blessing. But how awesome is our God that He even thought of you, not only your meatball, but also your giftings, how you will be. Because He needs that blessing of you. He needs that in the community. He needs that in the church. He needs that where you are. So I always want to sing beautiful. I cannot. So if you like it, Michael, don't help us and Sana. They would draw their blessing, their gifting from us. It's just always a simple example. The same with your blessings. The same with your giftings. Don't withdraw. Bring them. Be the blessing to the community, especially to the church. Bring your good things. Don't say, not. And you know, I always thought that you are prideful when you can say, I'm good in computers. I'm not. I was born to see people computers. So. But just say, I can help you with sound. Because computers don't confuse me so quickly. I'm a little lost there, so you need to speak me last time when I was on that view. I think they will never put me on that view. But come and say, there's so good in this. You must be a blessing to the rest of the community. Okay. And then the template. I don't know if you ever read that story about the templates in Egypt, what happened. It was 10 gods that the Egyptians worshipped that God tackled them. It was terrible. It was not fun. It was really terrible. Can you imagine if God can do that? Well, of course He can. He created it. So He can cause that to you. And in a way, we also, because we have choices, God made us with a choice. We can choose what we want to do. We often choose wrong, and then we think, okay, where is God now? Everything goes wrong. But hello, you didn't choose the right thing. You didn't consult Him, you didn't ask Him, so you just went on your way, and now you say, please, Lord, bless this what I've chosen. It doesn't work that way. Okay, there is no shortcut. Because your shortcut is to God, ask Him, and then He will help you to do that. Okay. And then the manna and the kor. I was chuffed that I could spell it. Cool. Okay, it's also in the Bible. But God provided them in the desert. Do you know how long you can survive in the desert? I don't know if there's anyone here that comes from a desert area. It's really not long. When I watched that, that does the surviving thing, beer grows. And once he did a program in the desert, I think it was in Namibia, he struggled. It's a different thing to fight cold and snow and ice and that in South America where that people pick ants on and whatever. That's also a different story. But desert, it's very difficult to survive. Even a week. If you don't have water, you won't. Not your animals, not nothing will survive. The heat, the cold, it is just terrible. And then here comes the winter. God provides manna and corn every day. Maybe they're not good. But they're harvesting. But the fact plow on the ground, no, it's just sand that they've got. You know, of God every day, the thing of God. If you go on the internet, it's so funny. The Germans, there's three Germans around there. And the Germans had made a manna machine. Just go and Google it, it's so funny. They said, yes, that was hidden in the tabernacle, in the opinion that they carried with them where God's presence was in. And then after 40 years, they couldn't fix it anymore. That's why they had to go to Canaan. It's funny. God provided. Our God is mighty, mighty, awesome, big, humongous. And He loves you. He created you. His thoughts of you are more than the sand on the shores of the sea. You know, not even your most loved ones think so much of you. Or so many times. Mothers. Where is he? Where are we now? What are we doing now? Oh, just think of that. Do you want to smoke the baby today? Is there anyone left today? No one's going to smoke the baby today. Can I bring you coffee now? And I say, just wait. Take it away. Oh, okay. Who is God to you? And then quickly those scriptures that we had. You will walk in the valley of the dead, a shadow of the dead. He's God this to you. That you will not fear evil. That you will be led by His rod and His staff. God's rod and staff. When we had to emigrate to the Netherlands, God said to me, He will guide me with His rod and staff. And I watched a short movie on what is a shepherd and how does he guide the shepherd, the sheep, and whatever I'm talking to. But the guy that was a shepherd there in Israel for 2 weeks. So he doesn't know so much, but he knows enough. So it was beautiful. And then what the rod and the staff is doing and how you hear the one and the other one just plugs you out of the ditch when you fall into the ditch. Isn't that? Because it's just listen to me, you will hear. The sheep doesn't even lift their heads. They just hear where is the knock of the stick on the rock, and then they follow that sound. Do you follow God like that? Do you hear where He's moving? How else is it? Please, we need to. So we're gonna conquer this now. We're gonna bring the bride that we will hear where He is. We need to. How do you know where to go? If you don't hear God, you cannot follow His rod or His staff. I don't know which one is that. With the hook. The hook gets you out of the ditches, and you get a poke on the bum. You just move that. Just don't go there, okay? Then it was Exodus again, how God amazing saved them there so many times after that as well. And then this beautiful Exodus 1, verse 17, it was when Moses was born there. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. They were not intimidated by the king. They were the king to just murder them. You could just kill or whatever. They were not intimidated because they knew who is their God. And even if they were killed, You know, what is the worst that can happen to us? We can be killed and go to heaven. Is that so bad? But everyone would fly off the balcony. So often our fears, we must just get rid of it. Okay, let's come back to the beginning. This is the end. What do you fear? What do you fear the most? You know, in your heart, what do you fear the most? Who is God to you? Is God bigger than I fear? Is he not bigger than I fear? And do you believe this? Do you believe the lie that God is not bigger than your fear? That what he's told me to share, that his love is bigger than any one of our fear? Or do you believe the lie that God will not come to heaven? He doesn't love his life. He just made love. He just created me. Beautiful, wonderful. You got told me that he's not going to love me. It's lies. It's nice, God loves you. He wants to be part of your life. Okay. Father God, I'm coming. And as this song, here is your life. Lord, we struggle. We really struggle, and you told me your power must be cleansed of wrinkles and flesh and spots. And this is a spot we have, Lord. We are not for you, but for the world and for the enemy and for people and for everything that you. Father, we come before you. And if you agree, you can think of it in your heart with me. Father, we repent of our unbelief. We repent of our fear that is bigger than our trust in you. We repent of not understanding who we are in our authority, who we are, that we are your sons and daughters and your love for you, that your love is bigger than our biggest fear. We repent that we do not understand it and we do not believe it. Because the fear is so real to us, Father, and you are so many times not fear. We repent that you are not here. Lord, and I ask your church, again on this year today, Father, do they hear you be walking? Do they hear this work, this on the rock? Father, help us. We repent that we do not want to hear you, that we do not like time to hear you, that we do not have a relationship with you. We repent of that, Lord. This is not what you meant for us. This is not how you want us to live. This is not what you planned for us. We repent, Lord. This is not your way. And today, Father, as all eyes are closed, we bring the following fears before you. We say, bring your burdens, bring your fears to me. And in our heart, just say your biggest fear to God and share it with him and say, Lord, this is not good. Don't say anything. There's nothing too hard to hear in him. Father, we hear our fears. I can see how God stretches his arms around us. It's a couple of words you would need to be said to you. I want to help you. Come, just come. Come to me, and I will open the door. I'm waiting for you. We come today before you. We know not hope of what we must do and what we can do, but I ask you to guide us, Lord. We can have this to you, because we want to help you to do. And we welcome you choose today to agree with the truth that you, your love is bigger than our biggest fear, than all our fears together. To bring it before you and we believe your love is bigger than all our fears together. joy because you sense it, because you're thankful, because you can help. Father, in the name of walk and water now, we don't know how this will work, but I know and I trust you, Father, that you will help us through this season, that you will help us to break of this fear for once and for all.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.